Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've had a new staff member join us, as he announced last week. Sorry that he announced it. I wasn't aware he was going to announce it. Now, some kids, you've been saying that Agent Blue and I are the same. Well, it is true we're related, distantly related. And I'm trying to look after him. He keeps getting fired all the time. So we've put him to work this week. We've sent him out there looking in the area of chaplaincy. So we'll see what sort of report he comes back with. So, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Some say he's just like Get Smart. Others say he's better than James Bond. Others say more like Johnny English. All we know is we call him Agent Blue.
Good morning, boys and girls. Secret Agent Blue. I'm still undercover, working for the Baptist Church. Pastor Donnie has sent me out hunting for chaplains. Apparently, we're looking at a chaplain today. His name is Mark Green. I got some information from Pastor Donnie. He was sending me to where it is reported the best chaplain on the Sunshine Coast hangs out. I think he's made a mistake. I'm at the Kiwanis Waters Surf Club. There's no chaplain here. Just waves. And an empty tower. There's not even anyone on the beach. This mission seems harder than I thought. Where to find a decent chaplain? Well, they say this Mark Green guy is from Kiwanis Waters State College. They say he's pretty good. He looks after lots and lots of young people, plus their families. Sorry, boys and girls. I thought I heard some rustling in the bushes. It's okay. It's only a snake. All right, boys and girls, do you know any chaplains? Who do you think is the best chaplain on the Sunshine Coast? Do you have a chaplain at your school? Your challenge this week, if you should accept it, is to find that chaplain. I hope I find mine. Find that chaplain and say, thank you, Chappie, for all the good you do. Thank you, Chappie. All right? There's your mission, if you should accept it. All right, boys and girls, there's another rustle in the grass where I'm standing. Time for me to get out of here. There's a sign over there that's yellow and black and says, warning, snakes. Time for me to move on. Catch you later, boys and girls. Be good to one another. Be nice to one another. Give your mum and dad big hugs and kisses. And find that chaplain and say, thanks, Chappie. Secret Agent Blue. Out.
Well, thank you, Secret Agent Blue. Well, again, folks, it's my privilege to welcome and pray for Mark Green, who's going to come and speak to us. He's the chaplain, as you've heard three or four times today, chaplain at Kiwanis Waters State College, and a great, great man who's doing some great stuff there. And I'm going to let him share his heart and his word from the Lord. Let's have you here. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Donnie. Thank you, church. How dodgy is that Agent Blue? God, he couldn't find me. He was looking for me at the surf club, but I was actually in the surf. That's why he couldn't find me. Anyway, I'm sure he'll catch up with me sooner or later. Look, this is a real honour being able to speak to you folks from Kiwanis Life. A little bit strange speaking into a camera instead of a live congregation, but God is good. He's still on the throne. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today. Lord, as we come together, even though we are distant, we are still together. We are one new man in Jesus Christ. We've been adopted into God's family, so we're all brothers and sisters. And as family, we connect. We connect in the spirit. We connect by phone. We connect by Facebook, whatever way. But Father God, you are the thread that keeps us together. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen, amen. Yes, as I said, we're in changing times, aren't we, at the moment? We do church different. We do school different. We do work different. But you know, one thing that hasn't changed is God. God is the same yesterday, today and forever. And he is the rock that we can stand upon. Even though we face battles, whatever we've got going on, we know that God is in control. You know, there's not this big fight going on between the devil and God to see who's going to run everything. God's already won. The victory came through Jesus Christ, going to the cross for you and I, dying, getting buried in a tomb, but then on that third day he rose again. He's alive. He's seated next to his Father. He's interceding for you and I. You know, that's I love that. You know, I love the fact that we're here on earth. We're not alone. We've got the Holy Spirit with us, leading us and guiding us. And when we pray, that Spirit takes a hold of our prayers, takes it to the very throne room of God. Jesus hears those prayers and he intercedes with the Father for you and I. How good is that? How good is it, Donnie, knowing that we're not here alone facing this virus thing, you know, whatever happens, we're not alone. You know, you might be sitting at home feeling lonely this morning, but know this, that God is with you. All you have to do is reach out and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here with me today. Yeah, bless you. I love these times. It's a challenge. It's a new way of doing things, new way of doing church. I mean, this is amazing. I'm standing here with half a dozen people, but the words going into that airways, into that internet, has the ability to reach millions. You know, it's amazing the power of our words and the things that we do in everyday life. You know, it's amazing. I was thinking the other day, you know, God understands farming and agriculture. Everything God does, it starts with the seed. You know, it says that he plants the seed, that he scatters the seed, that all the everything talks about being planted and becoming a tree and bearing fruit. And it's amazing. It excites me knowing that I can plant a seed in someone's life and God waters it and it produces fruit. You know, it amazes me. But I want to talk a little bit about myself this morning. As Donnie said, and as Agent Blue tried to find out, I'm a chaplain at Kiwanis Water State College. Why he didn't go there, I mean, you know, he obviously doesn't work for ASIO. He must be with some other organisation, but I'm sure he will eventually find me. But I want to talk a bit about what I do, who I am, and my vision for what chaplaincy can achieve, and just share a word from the scriptures this morning. So what do I do? What does a chaplain do? A chaplain supports students, staff. This is the correct phrasing of my role in school. My role is to support students, staff, and the wider school community in their social, emotional, and spiritual needs. So that gives me a huge scope of what I can do. You know, we battle a lot of times with people that are anti-chaplaincy, atheists and different movements that want to close down the Word of God in schools. They attack RI, they attack chaplains. But we're still here and we're growing. At the moment in Queensland, there's over 600 chaplains in 800 different schools. And it's growing. There's a real need out there. And I'm talking to you. It's like Uncle Sam needs you. Scripture Union chaplaincy needs you. If you feel you have a call in your life to serve in a school somewhere, please talk to Steve here at Kiwanis Life Baptist. He'll lead you along that path like he led me. You know, I became a chaplain. I had a good friend, Chris Tupp, at Mullaney High School. And we used to tease each other and tell everyone that we were brothers from a different mother and all this stuff. And he's got a good haircut like mine. He's a good guy. I've known him and Kelly for 20 years. And one day I got crook and I sort of retired from running a business. And I bumped into Chappie Chris in the IGA and he said, hey, Greenie, what are you doing? I said, oh, look, I've just sort of retired. I'm taking a bit of time out. He said, you should think about chaplaincy. You'd make a great chaplain. And I went, I'm too busy. I've got all this stuff going on. And like at times we always pray, God, what do you want me to do? Lead me, God. Lead me, God. So that's always been my prayer. And I told Chris, no, I'm too busy for chaplaincy. And then that afternoon I got this phone call from Kerry. So I don't know if you know Kerry, but he's the regional manager for Scripture Union. And he rang me up out of the blue and said, hey, Greeny, what are you doing these days? We need a couple of chappies in our local schools. And I went, Kerry, I don't think it's my bag. I'm sort of seeking God, what he wants me to do. And, you know, I want to work with farmers in the outback and do all this stuff. And he goes, oh, look, just think about it, you know, pray about it, see what happens. And then, funny enough, the next day, Steve gave me a ring. He said, Greeny, what are you doing? I said, oh, look, I've just retired. I've sort of got all these things on my plate. He said, you know, we need chaplains. I said, you've been talking to Kerry, haven't you? And you've been talking to Chris, haven't you? You've set me up here. And they, all of them said, no, we haven't spoken to anyone. We haven't seen each other for weeks sort of thing. So I thought, oh, okay, maybe this is the God thing. So I looked at it and I filled in the application. And then head office got back to me and said, look, your qualifications aren't, they're quite old. pre-2000. So I said, okay, look, I'm praying, Bruce, about this chaplaincy thing. I don't want to do it if it's not a God thing. But one of my prayers is that it would be simple, that I wouldn't have to go and do a lot of study. I mean, I'm 60, nearly 60 at that time. And I said, I don't want to go back to school. I hate school. I hated school when I was there. I hated uni when I was doing uni. And I don't want to go back to something I don't like. Anyway, he said, oh, well, look, just leave it with us. You know, we might be able to match some things up. We'll see how the process goes. So I then got a call from Peter, who is the CEO of Scripture Union. And he said, Mark, I notice you have applied to be a chaplain. He said, you've got all the experience, but your qualifications might not be recognised by EQ. I said, that's okay, Peter. I just want to do what God wants me to do. Anyway, a week goes by and then I get a phone call from Steve saying, mate, we've got an interview process happening for Kiwana, but they're booked out, all the interview sessions, maybe Mountain Creek. I said, whatever, Steve, that's okay. And then I get a phone call back from Peter and he goes, look, we've accepted your application, but we need to have an interview. I said, well, I've just spoken to Steve about an interview at the school. He said, no, an interview to be a chaplain. So I said, how does that work? He said, well, it's a, you know, come down to Brisbane and we'll do an interview process. I said, I can't get there, Peter, you know. And he said, oh, well, maybe we'll organise a phone interview. So then an hour or so later, Steve rings me up and he goes, we've got to interview you. We've looked at your resume. What do you think of this? What do you think chaplaincy is? What do you think you can bring? And within 10 minutes, he said, rubber stamped my application and I was a chaplain, but I didn't have a school. So he said, look, we'll put you interviews next week for Mountain Creek. And I've gone, yeah, whatever. I was pretty chill. I just wanted to serve somewhere, somehow. And then an hour later, he rings me back and he said, Mark, he said, there's what are you doing at 11:45 on Thursday? I said, well, I was probably just coming off the golf course, I reckon. And he goes, well, there's an interview at Kiwana at 11:45. I said, well, how long does that take? He said, oh, it shouldn't be any more than half an hour. So I turn up for the interview and an hour and a half later, I walk out of there with the position. They've asked me how I could do this, what I could do with that. And it was just an amazing God thing. So really, I do what I do because that's what God wants me to do. I have a passion for young people. I have a passion to see kids in whatever circumstance they're in at the moment, reach their full potential. And none of us can reach our full potential without God. So part of my role is just listening to kids. What I do on a day-to-day basis is I listen to kids. I have conversations. And whatever comes out of that, I bring to God and say, God, what do you want me to do with this situation? And he always gives me an answer. Sometimes not what I think, but his answers are always good and pure and true and will bring life. I do breakfasts for kids with the help of Kiwanis Uniting Church. They come every Monday morning. For 20-odd years they've been doing it, serving in the school, just serving kids in a non-judgmental way. They love everyone. I provide lunches for kids who haven't got lunch. I visit families. I provide meals for them. I refer families and kids to specialists that can help in areas that I am not trained in. I deal with bullying. I deal with self-esteem issues. I deal with relationships. I run a Better Man program for 15-year-old boys. And I involve churches and youth groups as much as I can get into that school. Hillsong currently run a girls program. History makers come in and play games at lunchtimes. Donnie looks after the RI in the primary school. All of the churches in the local area support in one way or another through mentoring or running groups. So if you have a passion, if you have a skill in any area, come and ring me up, talk to Donnie, and maybe you can get involved in the school somehow. Why do I do this? Why do I do what I do? First of all, I believe it's God's calling on my life. I have always had a passion for young people. I worked in child safety and juvenile justice, and always in a way that will enrich a young person's life, not take away from it. And that varies with each person I come along. What it is that I actually do and why I do it comes back to that passion, that desire that God has placed in my heart for young people. What is my vision for what I'm doing? I want to see it grow. You know, I work with Scott Bedina Primary School. We're supported by the one committee, and our funding is shared between the two schools. But Scott is a great young guy. He just came on board this year, works with the young people at Bedina because he loves kids. He wants to see kids grow in God. And my vision is to see that grow. I'm currently 3 days a week at Kiwanis, but I'd love to see that expand to five. Not for me, I'd continue doing what I'm doing, but being able to employ someone else and bring them along the journey with me. I'd like to see increased presence of chaplains at Bedina as well as Kiwanis. How does this happen? Well, it costs money, of course. We get partial government funding, but most of our funding and support comes from local churches, local Christian business people, anyone who has a passion for what we do. PNCs get on board and help out as well. But, you know, ultimately it's more than that. How will this vision come to pass? How will the service grow? It's God. God is the main source of our provision. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He gives us the seed funding. We plant that seed funding, it grows, and we see young people coming through the system, sometimes hurt, sometimes bruised, into fullness of life. I love what chaplaincy brings to a school, a non-judgmental view to help young people, their families, the staff. There's 124 staff at Kiwanis. They deal with their own issues, their own problems, and often they'll sit down and seek my advice about things. You know, I might not look 62, but I am. I can show you my license if you want. Most people say I look about 40, but that's God's grace, not my good living that's done that. But, you know, chappies need to know that churches are behind them, that Christians are praying for them, that people are supporting them whichever way they can. You know, we cop enough flack from all sorts of different areas. You know, even churches sometimes. I've talked to pastors who don't agree with what we do. And that hurts me. That hurts my heart. Because they're coming from a place of not understanding what chaplaincy actually does. I heard the other day that what's the use of having a chaplain in a school? They can't preach the gospel. Let me tell you this. Preaching of the gospel is not just the words you use, it's the actions that you take. People see more about Christ and God in how you live your life than what you speak. You know, we don't only talk the talk, we need to walk the walk. And I love being a chaplain. It gives me so many opportunities to share the gospel. You know, besides praying for us, you know, there's always that financial side of things that we need. There's a way you can donate online. I'm sure if you talk with Donnie, Donnie can lead you through that. Yeah. So what do? We plant seeds. Why do you plant seeds? Why does any farmer plant a seed? He wants to see a crop. You know, Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look, the fields are white unto the harvest. Pray for the laborers. We are laborers in the field of, you know, reaping that harvest for Jesus. You know, we love to see the gospel, you know. If we allow God to water those seeds that we sow, it will grow. You know, Psalm 1 verse 3 says that they shall be planted as trees by the rivers of water, and they shall grow and they shall produce fruit. Now, how good is that to know that as we plant those seeds that God gives us, you know, I have a conversation with a young person in a playground. By me having a conversation, not judging them, just letting them share their heart and what they're doing, I give a little bit of a seed back to them. And kids today are just hungry for people who honestly care for them. Honestly. You know, we're known by the fruit we produce, it says in Luke 6:43, talks about the fruit being produced by different trees. So we don't all produce the same. We are different trees in the orchard of God, if you want to look at that. Some of us are lemon trees. Some of us are peach trees. Some are apple trees. They produce different outcomes, different fruit. We all have differing areas of ministry. This is what God speaks to me about, all these different trees producing different fruit. You know, whatever your God gives you on your heart as a ministry is an opportunity for you to sow seed and see that seed grow into a tree that produces good fruit. I mean, there's no point trying to grow apples on a lemon tree. Just doesn't work, does it? Even if you hybrid it somehow and graft a branch on, that apple will still tend to become a lemon or endeavor to become a lemon, but it's not. It's this branch of an apple tree. And when we find ourselves struggling in an area of ministry, maybe it's time to look at what sort of tree we are called to be, what sort of fruit we are called to produce. My passion and vision is for young people. And as a chappie, I know that God has placed me in the right place to produce good fruit. I believe that we're all called to sow seed. You know, we hear that that scripture that talks about the farmer goes and scatters seed. Some of it falls on fertile ground. Some of it falls on the in the rocks. Some of it springs up quickly, and the thorns of life choke that plant and it doesn't produce. That tells me that God wants us to sow seed to everyone, to every area. And then he waters it and it produces what God wants to water. It doesn't say only look for those that will receive. Don't only look for the fertile ground to plant your seed in. It says you plant your seed wherever you are. You know, if you're talking to a homeless person, don't treat them any different than you would a minister or a rich businessman. Treat everyone the same and scatter that seed with love to everybody. And then God waters it and he's the one that causes the growth. I'll just tell you a little story. This is a story of John. The name's been changed to protect the innocent and keep me legally safe as well. So we'll call this guy John. John comes to Kiwana after being expelled from another school for drug issues and violence issues. He was an angry young man. He was halfway through year 9 and his mum had just kicked him out of home because she couldn't handle him. Mum and Dad were divorced years ago and lived separately. Dad had remarried, but Mum was still on her own, trying to raise this angry young man. So she has enough, gives him back to Dad. Dad doesn't want him, rejects him, but says, what else am I going to do? He's my son. So he takes him in, actually renovates his garage, and John lives in the garage at the home. Dad drinks a bit. Mum, or his stepmum, uses drugs. So it's not a very good environment for this violent young man to move into this situation. Dad tries his best. So Dad brings him and enrolls him at Kiwanis. They have an initial interview, and then when he's enrolling, the principal asks me to come and sit in that interview process. So in that interview, all I do is I shake John's hand and said, welcome. I'm the chaplain. My role is to support you, to help you be, to enjoy your school situation. He goes, and that was all he did. That was the end of that conversation. A week later, I bump into John in the playground. And I say, how's things going? He said, oh, all right. And we started talking. I said, what do you like to do? What's your interest? He said, oh, I like playing footy. I go surfing. I said, oh, mate, so do I. I love footy. Go the Dragons. And not the Broncos, don't worry about them. They're okay. But the Dragons, you know, St. George. St. George. God's team. Anyway, we won't talk about that. But we start up this conversation. Oh, he likes footy, yeah. Oh, you like surfing? Oh, so do I. Where do you surf? What do you do? And that was basically it. This goes on for a few months, just these casual conversations. And then one day he comes to me and he says, oh, look, Chappy, he said, my dad's having a hard time. Can you talk to him? I went, yeah, sure. So I ring up Dad, and Dad breaks down crying on the phone. I don't know what to do with this kid. I don't know. He's a bad seed. He's out with his friends using drugs and drinking, and I don't know what to do. So I said, well, look, let's have a chat. We'll go and have a coffee. So I organised to have a coffee with him. We talked through some stuff about, you know, parenting, being a good dad, just general conversation about family and stuff. And I said, you really need some help. I can organise some counselling for you. So I hooked them up with a counselling service through IFYS, and they start to have this reconnect family counselling. And it goes on and on and on for about 6 months. But then one day John comes to see me, and he says, oh, Dad's kicked me out. I've got nowhere to live. I go, oh, gosh, let's talk about this. And we ended up getting him a place with a family just around the corner to stay temporarily while we were still dealing with Dad's stuff going on. I got Jake involved in Christian Surfers and got him hooked up with Kiwanis Dolphins Rugby League Club. So we were starting to have a bit more of an... This is 18 months down track now. All of this time I'm talking to John about God. God has a purpose for your life. God's doing something in your family. God has a plan for you. And he's going, oh, yeah, Chappy, all this God stuff, I've tried that, yeah. I used to go to church, but bleh. And anyway, I keep talking about God. And then one day he comes to me. By this time he was in year 12. So this is 2.5 years on. He comes up to me on one Monday morning and he says, Chappy, he said, everything you told me about God's real, isn't it? And I said, yeah, mate. Oh, well, I wouldn't lie to you, you know, God's real. He said, yeah, he said, I know. Yesterday I became a Christian. I went to church and gave my life to Jesus. And I said, John, that's fantastic. And so I encouraged him, got him involved in this youth group, and he just grew. He started to change. He went from this angry young man to this guy who had a passion for his future. He flew through year 12 and graduated. He went from failing, being a failing student, to one of the top 10 kids in his grade. Just God did this change in him. He invited me to his formal, and so I put the suit on and looked pretty good. All you kids out there that know me as Chappie don't usually see me in a collar, but I do scrub up pretty good sometimes. So I put a formal suit on, and John pulled up in this car, limo, and he gets out with his girlfriend and the youth pastor from his church. God just did this shift in John. And that came from me planting some seeds. Took 2.5 years to see the change in that boy is just amazing. You know, we went out for a Christmas function with some teachers from school, and we were walking out of the restaurant, and John and his girlfriend were sitting outside, and he hadn't seen me for a couple of months, 3 months. He ran up, gave me this biggest hug, and said, "Chappie, how you going?" I said, "How are you going? It's more important." He said, "I've got myself a job." He said, "I've got myself a girlfriend. We're doing everything right. We're doing everything God's way." And these teachers that I was with could not believe the change in this young boy's life from planting seeds. Amazing. You know, he still has issues with Dad. He still can't live at home. It's not perfect. He's still a bit of a rebel. But he's now involved in a local footy club. He's got a job and he's going forward. All I ever did with him was sow seeds. The soil never looked fertile. And at times I wondered and questioned why. But God knew all the time why. He knew the why. You know, Ella Wheeler Wilcox, in the early 1900s, she was an author and poet. Her works include Poems and Passions of Solitude. And I'm sure everyone will know this verse out of that, even if you don't know where it came from. She wrote this line. It said, "Laugh and the whole world laughs with you. Weep and you weep alone." Everyone has heard that somewhere. But she also wrote this verse. It said, "With every deed you are sowing a seed, though the harvest you may never see." You know, we don't know the effect that we have on someone's life by giving them an encouraging word, by speaking life into their situation. We don't know what's going to come from that seed. What would have happened if I hadn't sown that seed to John? What if I would have said, "Nah, he's too hard a nut to crack"? But God knew the exact right time for John. He knew that I was going to be there to put that initial seed in. He knew that John would eventually meet this girl and go to a youth group for the wrong reason. He first went to youth to pick up the girl. But God had a different plan. The youth pastor planted a seed that night. And then a few weeks later, that seed came to fruition and John gave his life to Jesus. Don't hold back from sowing that seed. Kiwana Life, I love this church. I thank you for your prayers. Please keep praying for our local schools. They're going through a tough time at the moment. They don't know. Teachers are confused. They don't know what's going on. You know, we need to be supporting our teachers, supporting our local schools, supporting our local government, supporting our local churches. You know, I love this fact that we can be one church meeting in 100 different locations this morning. But God is good. Know this, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because God is greater than anything that the enemy can throw up. Please be encouraged by this word this morning. I shall finish with this scripture. Psalm 1 verse 3. "He shall be planted like a tree, planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in due season." Thank you for listening this morning. Be blessed. Have a great Sunday. Reach out to someone today and plant that seed for Jesus Christ in their life. Thank you so much.